9 episodes.
Wow. It's taken us to this 9th time to get to where today we are really going to step in it, Pete. I'm telling you. American Christian. American is an adjective. Christian is a noun. Both words are very important, but each serves a different function.
Yeah, we are going to be walking, maybe we're walking a little gingerly right now, but I think that once we get in out into this puddle, I think we're going to start stomping around a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things, right?
Right. Because today we are going to take up the issue, if you step into revival and it leads to an awakening, and by that we mean regional stuff and even national, continental stuff happening, where many, many people are now awakened to the purpose of God and the plan of God, what are the political implications of that? Can there be political implications of that? Or should there be? And we're going to let that question be answered by a guy who was there and preaching in his pulpit regularly. But this guy, this is why this is so significant. This guy, as a boy and as a teenager, was one who attended the meetings of George Whitefield in the Great Awakening.
Right.
Which means he was there with the jerking and shaking and falling down on the ground and crying out and screaming out in repentance. He not only saw it, he participated in it himself and then ultimately was awakened. So later on then in adulthood, how does this guy preach when he becomes a pastor? That's a pretty good question.
I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, you were saying about political implications, you know, when the moving of the Spirit comes. I think that we see that really through the text, through the Old Testament, New Testament. There are political implications. One is that these followers of Jesus, even when Paul, before he, you know, moves into his apostleship,
right?
The political implication is we're hauling you off to jail because you people are very deceived, and you are making our God to look as though he's something else.
Yeah, than and you're corrupting the people, they said.
Oh, well, then there's that. So are there political implications? Yes. Are there still implications today?
Yes.
There are, and I think they're going to grow in severity.
Yes.
But we won't go there.
So the scripture the scripture we're going to work off of here with John Rogers is Psalm 126 and verse 3, which says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." Now, this sermon of his that we're drawing from here today, it was delivered right after the Revolutionary War was finished. So we're kind of taking a step forward in history here.
Okay.
So that'd be like 1783, was it, that the Revolutionary War ended? But the things he says here in this message are totally amazing. They were amazing to me as I started to read it, because my whole life and ministry as a pastor, as a professor, and all the stuff I've been, has always been, well, you know, you preach the gospel and that's all on one side over here, and then you got the politicians over here and they're all some whole separate different thing, and you never go over there at all because you're a pastor, you're a professor, you're an academic dean, whatever you are. And I'm seeing from these guys that that might not actually have been the case back at the founding of our nation. So, what John Rogers does in this message, first of all, because when I first started reading this, I thought, man, he's just jerking this verse out of context, and he, you know, how can you? But he didn't actually. He goes into the first verse and the second verse, and starts talking about the captivity, when the Lord, verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who were in a dream. And he's like, yeah, the children of Israel, when they came out of the Babylonian captivity, they were like, how could the Lord have done this great thing? It's just like, and it happened in a very quick time frame.
Right.
He's applying that to the Revolutionary War, saying, well, look what God has done here. But he can't do it. This is what I really like about this. He can't do it without first preaching the gospel. And so he gives out four quick points here, and we'll just hit on these quickly. First, he preaches Jesus, who redeems us from the curse of the broken law, and to open up the way for us to return to him. This is the fruit of the revival that he was in. Here we are now, 40 years later, he's a pastor and a preacher and a very revered and honored man in the society of that day. But he's just giving them Jesus is his first point. Then he talks about the salvation as a treaty of peace, reconciliation between God and man.
Amen.
Goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit given to us. Why was the Holy Spirit given?
Mm-hmm.
So we can live holy unto the Lord. And he guides and directs us. And then the last thing is that how we live a life of faith and be the happy people, the joyous people that the scripture tells us that we are. So it's in four quick points, it's basically the gospel in a nutshell. But then he goes on in the sermon and says, now let's talk about our current situation. And so these are the things that John Rogers attributes to the providence of God, not some happenstance of history, not some accident somewhere. This, he believes, God orchestrated. Number one, he has defeated the designs of Britain to deprive us of our liberties. Now, dude, that's pretty straight.
It is. And you can throw it right on top of a headline today.
Ooh, go ahead and do that, Pete.
I don't know if I can.
Okay.
I don't know if I can. But it just seems as though, look, if God is on the move and he's moving, man's intentions and man's ways are not going to get in the way of it.
Well, I'll help you with one. And okay. Not a specific one, but what he says in the sermon under this point, speaking of Britain depriving us of our liberties as Americans, he said, they had laid their plans with such art as to deceive the nation into favorable sentiments of their measures. Is anybody listening out there? I mean, that's exactly what's happening today, isn't it?
It is.
And thus led them to aid in the accomplishment of their purposes. Wow. So, that's the first one. He says it's the providence of God. He said without the guiding hand of God, this would not have happened. The winning of the Revolutionary War. Second one, he gives.
Nobody's ever said that before.
I know.
I've never heard anybody say that. I've never heard anybody tie these two things together. But you're a professor.
I didn't know it in this. I had a hint of it, but I never understood it by actually reading the documents, which is what we're doing.
Right.
Now.
I mean, we can get busy reading a lot of different things, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So, right. What?
Well, next he gives the fact that the people of America united against Britain to fight this war. He gives to the providence of God, not as our secular historians do now, to pride and they all wanted to keep their slaves and all this stuff that you hear nowadays in this revisionist history. No.
Whoa, Doc, what are you doing?
That's not what it was. The people that were there came through the revival into the awakening, they received the liberty of their souls in Jesus, and from that they wanted the liberty of their political situation.
And we had talked about this yesterday, that the move is not by the individual. It is by this group of people,
right,
that have come together and said, we the people, forming a better nation, doing these things. And they're all derivatives, really, of the Word of God, right? And so this is just another thing to say, hey, man, we're coming against our oppressors.
Right.
And this is even after.
And this is to the point, as you know, the Revolutionary War, of taking up weapons and shooting and firing and killing people.
Doctor.
I know. Yeah. But that's, of course, what the Revolutionary War was. So, he says again under this point, it is true, both these were the native effects, and that is the measures of the British courts and the deceptions that they were bringing to make this happen. They mentioned in the first one. He says, the unanimity in opposing these measures that prevailed among the then colonies and among all ranks and degrees of their respective inhabitants, that means all people, poor people, rich people, the high, the low, the men, the women, everybody, with very few exceptions, that they had unity among themselves, is another remarkable display of the kindness of heaven toward us.
Whoa. So unity, like, that's been a little bit of a buzzword around here in the last, right?
Oh, yeah.
Has it, and is it not the one of the big from the Democrats, right? That we're going to have this big unity thing, but I don't know how they can make these kinds of declarations, really.
Yeah.
I mean, based upon what? Because unity with, as far as people that are not of spirit-born ancestry, if you will,
or at least willing to hear the Word of God for what it says,
right?
I mean, you can't demand they all become Christians in the second realm.
Yeah, you can. No, I'm kidding.
No, you can't. God doesn't even do that. Okay, we want them to, and we're gonna you know, preach to them and show God's mercy and love and everything. But it's in the first realm where everybody is a child of God in the church. In the second realm, the civil, there has to be freedom to not obey the Lord. But people at least have to be willing to say there is a structure of the Word of God that exists and is the basis for this. When you throw that away, you're throwing away the very foundation for civil society.
Like it was man's idea.
Right.
Like we've come up with this.
Right.
And I think there is some of that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even sure what they teach in schools today. I mean, you often hear people say, well, you just don't know what they're teaching anymore. Well, we don't know what they're teaching. But we have listeners out there that have kids.
Right.
That are out there that are learning about. But I don't know if anybody's going down this path, Doc.
Right. Now, this next one, I realize on these first two, that there's some of you listeners out there, you're gasping right now, okay? You're like, I can't believe these men are saying this.
Right.
Well, when we give this third one, you're going to be on the floor.
Okay? Right. So the first one is that he's defeated the designs of Britain to deprive us of liberty. And the second one is that the people united against Britain.
Those are the providence of God.
Right.
That's what John Rogers is saying. Okay, here's the third one. It is the military enthusiasm of the people to oppose Britain.
Oh my gosh.
Dude. Let me read it to you.
Okay.
The military ardor in defense of our privileges that inspired all ranks from one end of the continent to the other deserves our careful notice here. Into what but the hand of heaven can we resolve that military enthusiasm that seized our country and spread like a rolling flame from colony to colony, bosom catching fire from bosom, and thus pouring forth an army sufficient to make a most respectable resistance against the enemy, for so we must now call them through the remaining part of the war, wherever they came forth against us. In evidence of this, you will please recollect the manly resistance they met with at Lexington. That's where the shot was fired that was heard around the world,
yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Where the first American blood was shed in the controversy, April 19, 1775, and the well-fought Battle of Bunker Hill, so fatal to the British troops on the 17th of June following, and the confining of their whole army within the town of Boston and its environs for near a year from this time by a set of raw, undisciplined men, that was the Continental Army, where they were obliged to, till they were obliged to steal away with precipitation and shame.
Okay, you got this military enthusiasm. What is happening today in the here and now is that the establishment is pitting people group against people group. It's instead of the people coming together in a unity saying, we don't want this establishment.
Tyranny.
We don't want this tyranny. Quit telling us what we have to do. Mm-hmm. We are here to tell you what we want you to do, just as it was in the beginning. This is what we want.
Right.
We want to pursue our freedoms.
And I think our point here with John Rogers is those who are telling you, well, because you're a Christian, you should just sit down and shut up and take it, are wrong.
Yeah. Agreed. They are wrong.
Yeah.
But this is how we're acting.
Right.
We're acting like this really all over the nation.
Right.
And so I'm not, you know, on the other side of that too, Doc, is like, okay, so you've got Christians, but we also have militia people in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That are not spirit-filled, right?
Right.
Right? I mean,
right.
But they're certainly for the formation of the U.S.,
right.
But those guys, like, how do you bring in a unity when everything is disjointed? Because we're disjointed, again, it seems, by race. We're disjointed by political agendas.
Here's our point.
Okay.
What they had that we don't have,
yeah,
is a nationwide revival leading to an awakening that flows into the understanding of Scripture and the Spirit of God to have this thing happen.
So
we don't have that yet.
Right. Do you think that there are those that are trying to manifest that without God?
Maybe.
I mean, without Him being the author of it.
Yeah, probably. So when we cry out to God for revival and awakening,
yeah,
understand what we're asking for the whole package.
Right.
We're asking for every part of our life. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God's. Jesus, He didn't say that by accident. He didn't just kind of, well, you know, I'll just kind of zing him with this one, you know, when the Pharisees came to him. He was like, I mean, this is foundational, world-shaking stuff.
Right.
Because what they wanted him to say was, well, yeah, you know, I mean, Caesar, you know, we're Jews, man. We got Moses. We got the law. So, you know, blow off Caesar. He didn't do that.
Hmm.
Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But when Caesar is doing tyranny, then you got to use some other scriptures, of course.
Right.
And you got to keep rendering to God the things that are God's all the way through. That's what I love about John Rogers. He's shot through with Scripture.
Right.
And the explanation of contextually interpreted Scripture, I'm like, whoa.
So we've got this, there's this huge tide, really, that's been pushed across America back in
right.
this time,
right.
which are led by a group of men that are receiving things out of the kingdom of God. They are bringing forth these words, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are being inspired by God to say these things. People are responding to them because they have had the change of heart, the quickening, right?
Right.
They are followers of Jesus. Really?
Right,
I mean,
right.
Jesus is their king.
That's
I mean,
right.
And they understand that. And so as that is pushing forward, how do we render under God what's God's today? As an American Christian,
yes,
250 years later.
I think we keep doing what we have been doing here at Heart of the Father Ministries, and that is pouring out God's love on people.
There you go.
So that they know who He is, and keep preaching the truth. What He said is, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. If this doesn't happen, there will be a curse. You can't just, that's scripture, that's the word of God. And Jesus did not erase that with His teaching or His life or anything else. He came and showed us how it could happen. He did it Himself, turning the heart. Think of taking those disciples.
Yeah.
12 guys, and He even lost one, Judas.
Right.
Okay? Taking those guys out of their setting. There's a certain view of fathers, certain view of mothers, all that, this whole cultural deal. Jesus comes in, and what is said about Jesus, and what does Jesus say about Himself? I am the Son sent down from the Father. I mean, so, yes, that's what we've got to do, but we've got to keep praying for God to send this, they call it in here a continental, in other words, across the whole continent, a revival that is going to lead to an awakening.
And we know that awakening has already moved from one continent across an ocean into another continent.
Ooh.
Right?
Back, I mean, back at the beginning of the 20th
beginning of
century.
It? Yeah. Oh.
Yes, it did then. We'll come to that later in our podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, hey, you might want to write that down, listener.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, the Welsh Revival and then the Azusa Street. Azusa, and, yeah. Oh my word. Yeah, that's too big to go into today. What we're working on here is preparation. When an awakening comes, don't shy away from political implications.
Thank you. That's nicely put.
I mean, that's where it's at. Because his last one,
yeah.
Think of this, comes down to individual political figures.
Here we go.
Namely one, George Washington. Anybody ever hear of him? The father of our nation. Rogers says, divine providence gave the American colonist, George Washington, at the right time, at the right place, in the right station of life. Here he
Whoa.
Is, the man to command this army and to win the victory against Britain.
Yeah, for such a time as this.
Exactly.
We hear that a lot.
Right.
As men of God.
And it happened. And here we are, United States of America. We're still here.
Right.
Hundreds of years later.
And there's been this move, really, to pull away, to take our founders and to pull them out of the Christian stream.
Right.
Right, to negate these kinds of things.
Yeah, they were all deists connect, or stuff like that.
Right.
They weren't. They weren't deists.
If you can't connect the dots that these men were believers, then you're going to go, well, see, the man has his own strength and men can do their own thing and men are smart enough and they were smart enough back then and we're smart enough today that we can get out of all of this by implementing all these different kinds of whatever, projects, the things that come out of government, right?
Right.
Like the Green New Deal. This is going to change the globe. Men are smart enough to do this.
The religion of climate change?
The religion of climate change. That's
right.
That would be a fun one-off podcast, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be.
Because I think that people need to hear that.
Right.
They need to hear that side from you.
But our point here today as we start to wrap this up is, take your children to revival.
Ooh.
John Rogers was taken to George Whitefield's preaching in the 1740s as a boy. Now, 40 years later here, we're reading his sermon and we're sitting here like, whoa, my word. Look what happened as he experienced revival fully himself and awakening. And then later himself became a pastor and a leader of God's people.
Yeah, and these seeds were laid down. These seeds were watered. The whole movement of God into this nation, right? This right. didn't happen overnight.
So we need to think generationally here.
Yeah, I like that.
We really do.
Unto your family, unto your children and their children and their children.
Right.
Glory to God.
And I had such a blessing here last week when two of my grandchildren were brought to our Friday night fire meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to pray over each of them at the end of the service. That blessed my heart. We're thinking of changing the name of the ministry to Heart of the Grandfather now. No, I'm kidding.
Well, Doc, we have an offer that we want to...
Yes,
we've been doing this really all week. I don't know how much longer we'll be announcing it, but there are ways that you can get a hold of a book. Your good friend, Reverend Eric.
Yeah, Reverend Eric Hansen down in Springfield, Illinois, has brought forth this book. It's brand new. He just released it this past month. And we're giving them away free to anyone who will write in, text in, message in, call in. There's all kinds of... Why don't you tell them different ways that they can reach us?
Well, you can reach us just by sending us an email at info@heartofthefather.net. Just tell us you're reaching out for the free offer. We'll know what you mean. Send us your name and address, and we'll get it off to you. You can write us a letter and tell us that you love this program, hate this program, don't want anything to do with it, want more, whatever it is. We're going to send you a book. And that's P.O. Box 300 in Rush City, Minnesota 55069. And, Doc, they can call 320-566-1144. We don't have any operators standing by, but we do have a messaging machine here. Right. So that just tell us who you are and where you live, and we'll get that off to you.
Well, God bless you. Till next time, remember, you are an American Christian, and we love you. In the name of the Lord.
Amen. Goodbye.